You get these guys that, like, the rock band is their pre-kid life. It doesn't have to be like that. Because then, like, doing the old Facebook bands breaking up post, 5 years later they realize, like, you know, we really didn't have to do this. We could have kept going.
Welcome to Shotgun Story, the podcast that has conversations with indie creators about music, meaning, and the point of it all, so that you may be inspired by the journeys of other artists who are doing it for themselves, and maybe gain a little more understanding as to why it matters quite so much that you keep creating. There is so much to understand about what it means to have a career as an independent artist. And when you add children to the mix, it can become a little more complex. To help keep you creating, we're excited to bring you this 10-part series, focusing particularly on being a parent in the music industry. This project is made possible with support from the Music in Africa Foundation, the German Federal Foreign Office, Siemens Stiftung, and Goethe Institute. As a musician and a parent, I know firsthand some of the challenges faced, and so these conversations have been really eye-opening. And remember to go to shotguntory.com for bonus behind-the-scenes content from today's episode, as well as to explore the other conversations in this series. Shane Durrant is a musician, a songwriter, creative director, and a dad, and he is also in a band called Desmond and the Tutus. And he's in studio with us on this great new series on parents in the music industry. Hi.
Hi, and thank you for having me. I'm stoked to be here.
Oh, I'm so glad you came.
And congratulations on the series. This is such a nice idea and such a nice conversation.
Eh? It's quite exciting, yeah.
It feels like there's a lot of us, you know. There's a lot of, like, parents that have just become parents in the middle of their kind of music career.
I mean, we're going to dive straight in. You are so right. Except, it feels to me like what happens so often, and maybe more as a woman I speak here, is that the minute a woman becomes a parent, they're almost no longer a musician. And you just don't see them on the scene anymore.
That is unfortunately probably true, you know. It might not only be music, you know, except that it's sadder in music. It's, like it's not sad if we lose another lawyer or something, but it's sad if we lose a musician.
It is sad.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I mean, we've tackled the most important thing as far as I'm concerned. Right? We can finish the interview here. But music, what drew you here? Why did you stop making music?
It's just a weird one because when I was a kid, I had an interest in music and I was always, like, downloading free loops to the computer as a teenager trying to make beats and stuff like that. And in fact, in high school, I was like, I guess I might as well just tell everyone I was a rapper. And, yeah, I mean, like, for a long time, I was, like, making beats and rapping and recording rap songs and stuff. And I did that all through high school. And that was, like, super fun. But then when I left school, I started just listening to different music. You know, there's like a transition that happens between like who you are in high school and who you are when you're not in high school. You like become kind of a different person, even though you think you're going to be that person forever when you're 18. So I just started listening to all sorts of music. And at the time, there was like just something cool happening in rock music. You know, rock music was going from like Limp Bizkit and Papa Roach to the White Stripes and the Strokes and bands like that. And like, I guess when I started discovering rock music, I discovered like all these kind of exciting bands that were kind of more rock bands than Limp Bizkit ever was, in my opinion. So I got super into that stuff. And then I just started getting obsessed with like being in a band like this, you know. My brother Craig and Douglas, our guitarist from Desmond, I got them as obsessed with me about this idea. And we kind of just started just trying to be what we wanted to be. Like, from the beginning, we were just like, cool, like, let's do this, guys. Like, why not? And so we wrote a bunch of songs, recorded them. From the kind of the very beginning, like, we really loved it, you know. It was super, super fun. And then, of course, when people start listening to this stuff and liking it, it, like, activates a whole different part of music or making music. So that, like, you get addicted to that feeling. I guess like a lot of punk bands that we kind of started as a joke. You know, you started as like kind of a half joke, you know. It's like, and I remember thinking to myself, like, one day we're playing at Tins and Times with Fuzzy Gish And Fuzzy Gish had been around for like 8 years or something at this point. I remember thinking to myself, like, jeez, 8 years? Like, I don't have 8 years in here. Like, jeez, if I'm still here in 8 years, guys, something's seriously wrong. And here we are, like, 15 years later. We haven't slowed down. It's been, like, the most insane roller coaster. I'm trying to make it. It's just the best thing I've done with my time. I mean, it's just insane that it's still going to me, but...
15 years? I mean, that's amazing. What are some highlights of your career in those 15 years?
There's so many, and there's like, and they kind of change as you, the longer you're around, like different stuff is important to you. Like from right in the beginning, it was really awesome when you start getting a sense that like, it's working, right? So you start getting a sense that like, this is like resonating with people, you know, and then, and I remember like the first few shows we did where it like starts, as small as the shows are, like you start getting a sense that like, strangers that don't know me personally, like non-friends, are coming out to see us. When that realization hits you, like, hey, we're doing something cool here and people are into it, that's a like a landmark kind of thing that clicks in your mind. And as you go on, like, there is stuff like playing festivals and stuff like that, but none of them, no single gigs like stands out, you know, but like little moments kind of more stick with me. Like one of the most interesting things that has happened with us, I think, has been like cultural exchange program we've formed with, informal cultural exchange we've formed with a record label in Japan. And the way that started was like through MySpace. So like,
wow.
We just put all our stuff on MySpace and people like message you out of the blue and go, we've got a lot of good stuff come out of MySpace. Like way more good stuff came out of MySpace for us than like Facebook or Twitter. Or any of that, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it was just like a pure space for music and fans. But anyway, so this Japanese label, like, he contacted us through MySpace. We got a little thing going, and we went over there, and he released our album, and he got a bunch of Japanese artists to, like, remix our songs. And we arrived in Osaka, like, the first day of our first ever tour there. We were, like, walking around a mall or something, but it's not like a mall here. It's, like, insane... people everywhere. We're in like a clothing shop and two Japanese girls come up to us, and nobody can speak English is the other thing about Japan that makes it so weird, but they come up to us and show us their phone, open up iTunes, and like, here's our album. Okay. And this is like our first day in Japan after meeting this dude on MySpace. It's like, what exactly are you like walking into here, you know? But from that, like, we've been to Japan a bunch of times. We've like introduced other like South African friends to that scene, and the guys have come here. That's been really special. We won a SAMA for best rock album, I think it was. Every time you're like nominated for an award, you tell yourself like, if we win, that'll be cool. But if not, like, hey, we're not into this stuff anyway. But like, and there was always our attitude towards this kind of stuff. And then like we won a SAMA, and immediately it became like super meaningful to me. But it just felt cool to be like, serious rock guys are on that. Like, we're not a serious rock guy band, you know. So you got like Gareth Wilson on the judging panel, and he's like kind of serious rock guy. You know?
Yeah.
But it was like meaningful to me. I finally, just after all these years, I was like, okay, cool. Like, these guys get it.
So now here you are having this career in music. I mean, we all use the term career quite loosely.
That is generous. Right?
And then you have kids. So did you decide it was time to have kids?
No, it was a decision. Like, Angela and I have been married for long enough without kids. It was probably, like, the timing felt right. I should probably also say, like, I was never, like, a totally unhinged, crazy rock band guy. I didn't, like, have to get sober and, like, clean up my act or anything, you know. I've had a pretty normal life. I haven't, like, totally gone off the rails at any point, so, like, it didn't feel like I'm ready to have kids. I guess in my mind I thought, hey, at some point I will have kids.
I mean, do you feel like having kids has impacted your career at all?
Maybe. If I'm totally honest, I think there are things that I'm, like, more hesitant to do now. Like, in the past, maybe I would have, like, longer touring things, more comfortable doing. And now, like, I'm bleak about it, you know. Like, that thing of going up and down the coast for 3 weeks in December, like, that I'm not super into. anymore. So there's that. But that's like a really tiny thing. It doesn't stop me from doing any of the stuff that I love about being in a band and making music. And I mean, a huge credit to my wife, Angie, because she gets it. You know, she like super down. She knows like it's cool. Like what we get to do is awesome. Like I can't sugarcoat it. It's not a grind. It's like the best shit, you know?
Yeah.
And it's not going to last forever. Like it's lasted for 15 years, but that's not that long. You get these guys that like the rock band is like their pre-kid life.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be like that. Doing the old Facebook bands breaking up post. 5 years later, they realize like, you know, we really didn't have to do this. We could have kept going. You gave us this thing you love. Yeah, you're doing it with the right intention, but you might not have had to have done it, you know?
Yeah.
You just like figure your life out a little bit. So I don't like regret having kids, if that's what you really trying to find out.
No, no part of it. I suppose maybe also because, and I'm hypothesizing here, if you were the primary caregiver, perhaps it would be different.
100%. I mean, it could have been so much more complicated, for example, if Angie was in music. Okay, so how do we figure that out? Also would have been, no question, like for Angie to just go away for a week at a time. It's like way more, not that she loves our kids more than I love our kids, but it's just like mom stuff happens, you know. That's not lost on me, you know. Like I think that it is easier for men by a long shot to keep going. I can't see how that gets easier or gets different or gets better, you know. You know, moms always like, all types of moms, not only music moms, they, when they have kids, like the kids become it, you know. Often they will like give up a career, whatever, music or law, whatever it is. Those are like the two jobs I can think of. Which one are you?
I think my dad thinks I should have chosen differently.
So like moms, they dive in to motherhood and of course it's like hardwired to do that. But like, I mean, how often do you hear like moms of teenagers like resenting that a little bit going, I gave up my career and now you're a bitch.
I've heard that, yeah.
You know, it's probably only a little bit true and just and mostly just emotional and in the moment. But I'm speaking like way out of turn here, but like, you know, you don't have to give up everything when you have kids. Because I think people realize that, but they realize it when they have given everything up. But yeah, it's one thing to say that, it's a whole other thing to put it into practice, right?
100%. And I think that's one of the reasons that I'm actually doing this, is talking to moms and dads and just trying to find a way. Like, how do we do it? How do we get to keep our careers, particularly as moms, keep our careers and have kids? How do you get to have both?
Yeah, I mean, it's also worth saying that lots of moms don't give up their jobs, you know. That is a whole different kind of choice, though. You know, if you're, like, very career-oriented, you don't have to give up your job. You know, you can do it, but that comes with different types of sacrifice also. So you've got to kind of find that balance, I think, that works for you. And if you're thinking about it, it's probably a good sign, you know, because there's some, like, degree of self-care that comes into play, and I think that is important.
So, got your kids for a moment. Where are you in your parenting journey? How old are your kids?
Okay, I've got Nina. She's 7. She's done grade 1 this year. And Rex, who is 4, and he is in his first year of nursery school. It's quite a cool age. Like, they're in quite a good phase. They've got personalities. They love each other, which is super sweet. You know, they like chat and hang out, and of course they fight like total maniacs, but you have those brief moments where it's perfect, and that is beautiful. It's cool, like, it's a great age. They're 3 years apart, 2.5 years apart, which is kind of cool. Nina's got like proper big sister energy, you know, and Rex has got like total chaotic little brother energy. Quite a good vibe.
And do you think you being a musician and having a career in music has impacted them at all, positively or negatively?
I don't know, at this point. Like, I think that they've had some cool experiences as a result of it. You know, so, like, come on stage with dad in a big festival or something. It's like a really freaky thing to do, and it's kind of a cool thing.
Yeah.
Man, but I don't know if it's like sunk in yet, you know. I think that in a few years' time, when Nina's a bit older, you know, we'll get into like her dad's cringy old band type of thing, and then that starts getting, when she starts like feeling the need to like insult my band, my life's work, you know, as a way of like asserting her personality. That's going to be difficult, and I think it's inevitable. But for now, they dig it. They love their dad's songs, and they love the other guys in the band. Yeah, it's cool, you know. Their friends, like the parents will say, like, oh, so-and-so found out that, like, Rex's dad is a rock star. Like, yeah, okay, let's go with that. I don't feel like that, but let's go with it, yeah.
Oh, that's very cool.
I think actually this age is like, they dig it now. I'm aware that it's not always going to be the case. It's weird to think, like, when you've got, like, these perfect, beautiful little children that adore you, when are they going to think that something you did was lame? And they're just going to say it to you nonstop.
We try to live in the present moment.
Yes, yeah.
Do you think that having kids has changed your fans' perception of you?
Maybe. I guess the nice thing about a band is that we are like sheltered by the image of the group. As a musician, like, I don't really exist outside of Desmond.
Mm.
You know, so I'm not really, like, a personality.
Yeah.
Like, apart from the guy from the band, you know. So, like, there's way people are less attached to me as a person than they might be to a solo artist or someone whose identity is their name and surname.
Yeah.
You know, or themselves, or like a character they've created or something. For me, like, my identity as a musician is next to my friends in a little group under like a wacky name. In that sense, like, maybe not. I don't think so, you know. What's interesting at shows is like, you see younger people are still coming to like rock and roll shows, you know. And they wouldn't come if I had this like really public, wholesome dad persona, and I transitioned from rock guy to dad guy and stuff. Like, then people, I think, would think that this is weird.
You
know?
This is like, dorky.
He's old, you know. But actually, like I say, like our character, we exist as a group, and that a group has a dynamic and a personality that isn't really impacted by kids or anything, really, because we get to define it more so than if I was Shane, singer, songwriter, pop star.
Pop star.
Yeah.
What are some of the challenges you face on a day-to-day basis, balancing kids and career? And I know that you obviously have other things besides music that you do, but do you have any challenges that come up balancing things?
Not more than most people, you know, with the career and kids. So I have a full-time job now again after years of, like, working for myself, and that is in itself a bit of an adjustment. Going from being an entrepreneur or whatever you want to call it, to just freelancing, consulting, to like bona fide 9-to-5 vibes. Yeah. Like, that's an adjustment. Kids, family life aside, like, that has been an adjustment for sure. But yeah, I mean, the kids get it. They very quickly understand, like, our parents need to work. I mean, we are lucky in that Angie's still very flexible in how she works, and she's, I don't know how she does it, but she's got the balancing act right of doing quite a lot of work that she enjoys with doing the extramurals and stuff with the kids. So yeah, it's a balancing act, but I don't think it's more of a balancing act because I'm in a band.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, we've all got tons of stuff to do. Like, we've all got work stuff and family stuff and fun stuff and friends that we want to see and that, and just got to figure it out. Huh?
Totally. And so, I mean, I can see that Ange is obviously a large part of your support system as a dad.
Yeah.
What about if you want to go together on tour? Would you ever bring the kids with? Would that be your modus operandi? Or is there someone you'd ever leave them with? How does that feel?
Living in Joburg, like, we didn't grow up in, well, I didn't grow up in Joburg, Angie did. You're surrounded by people whose, like, entire family is in Joburg, you know, like, both sets of grandparents in Joburg, and these people, let me tell you, are living their absolute best lives. You know, kids go to the grandparents for any length of time. The grandparents pick the kids up from school if you need them to. We unfortunately don't have that. You know, my folks are in Hearties, which isn't far, but it's not like they can pick the kids up from school twice a week. And Angie's folks are in Zim, so that's also not really on the cards. Angie's parents do come up and down quite a bit, so they are around for long periods of time, but we don't have the luxury of drop the kids off for a weekend. So, although, I mean, we do make an effort to do that kind of thing, you know. So, like, actually, Hearties for a weekend or a long weekend, we have dropped the kids off in Hearties, and they love it. It's like the best thing for them. Go to, they call them Nana and DB. Go to Nana and DB's house. It's like a holiday. You know?
Yeah.
And you forget that, you know. You think it's like, oh, shame, they got to be away from mom and dad. They love it, you know. We do some of that. We're very lucky to have a full-time nanny. Mm. She brings a lot to the table, which helps us a lot. Because, I mean, I think that what helps Angie do her balancing act of career and family is the fact that she's almost got someone assisting her in all the stuff that's involved in the family side of things and the household side of things. So that helps a lot. And as the kids get older, you know, they make friends. And actually that also becomes like a part of your support system when the kid can go home with a friend after school and stay there till 5. We're getting into that scene now, and that's quite good.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah.
Then you get into the other thing where the kid just goes home with a friend from school on Friday and then goes back to school on Monday with the same friend.
You just I mean, I think just pull a little bit away from that.
I don't know.
Do you know of any support for parents in our industry?
No. I can't even imagine what that would look like, to be honest. Yeah, I mean, that is just such a... I mean, you hear about, like, corporates having a daycare and stuff like that. What would you say we need?
Oh, man, that was going to be my question to you.
I'm sorry, I forgot you interviewing me. I'm sorry.
I mean, interestingly enough, in Canada, they have a new thing that they're implementing, they're trying out, is at festivals having a daycare for the musicians and the people working as kids.
Wow.
I mean, it's huge.
Yeah, that's awesome. Like, the family-friendly festivals are really cool.
Yeah.
Like, when you go there and then, like, the little families come out and the kids wear their headphones and watch bands. It's really sweet. I have actually been to a few events where they have, like, a child minders and a little, like, playground set up and stuff.
Yeah.
But never had like a 4-day festival. That's one side of it, but I don't know if that's really what you're after. That's not helping your career, really. That's like a one-off event. I can't imagine. If Angie and I were both musicians, without a doubt, she would have probably of her own accord gone like, okay, my time in the music industry is drawing to a close because I've decided to have children. And she probably would have made peace with it. But, man, isn't that
Please.
Tragic? Yeah. It's like you kind of fall back on your own family, and either you're lucky and you've got access to people, or you're not.
And, I mean, if you think of the expense of kids, the minute they start going to school...
Then you need to start packing in the gigs. You know? you need to be away from them more than ever.
Exactly. And, I mean, I don't know what better ways the industry can support parents, but it feels like it's important to have... musicians who are out in the world making music that is also influenced somehow by their journeys in parenting. Not writing songs about having kids, but being role models, you know?
Here's another way of looking at it. It's like, if we had support for the arts, that meant that you, as Shotgun Tori, can be away from your kids for a weekend, but in that weekend, you sell enough tickets and you have enough financial support from a grant or whatever the case is, that those 2 or 3 shows you do on that weekend sustain you for a month. Okay, so that is like more realistic, right?
Yeah.
Because now you're going, okay, well, I don't have to do like 15 shows a month to get to where I need to be money-wise. You know, you get to say, okay, cool, I'm a mom. So, yeah, less gigs. Get it. That makes sense. It's a journey. It's a path. That's what I've chosen.
Yeah.
you're supported by arts and culture, whoever it is, in other ways, it does make the impact of having to give up shows like not as severe.
Totally. I mean, that sounds dreamy. It's,
yeah. I mentioned that the Japanese guys like coming over here. I mean, it's so easy for them. You know, they want to come to South Africa, they make an application. Are we going to go play music in South Africa? The government goes like, cool, how much do you need? How many of you are going? How many bands? Go.
Wow.
It's valuable. Like, there's value in that for culture and for music and for people that enjoy music and for people that want to continue making music. This is like an investment.
Totally.
So it's out there.
Maybe we can also make it happen here.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Or we just move to Japan.
I don't think we'd count.
Maybe.
Do you think that having kids has influenced your creative process?
Yeah, I think so. If I compare like how we write songs now to how we used to write songs, it's super different. And it's also got to do with how we have, maybe how our tastes in music has evolved over the years. But I mean, the first 20 songs, whatever we wrote, you jam them out and you play them and you like play them live for 6 months before you even think about recording them. And you really have the luxury of time to feel things out. Now to make an album, it's like you've got ideas and then you kind of record them quite quickly.
Yeah.
We don't really have the time to like road test stuff the way we used to. And I think that boils down to like having limited amount of free time.
Yeah.
In my case, like day job, band, kids, like that is the trifecta of time consuming things. Like you prioritize, cool. I can do the band, but I can't like spend 2 weeks on the road just having fun, you know.
Yeah.
I can have like 3 days on the road having fun. And then again, like I can't spend 3 weeks in studio figuring songs out. Like, you know, you got to like work a lot quicker. So in that respect, I think it has, but not in a way that I resent. I more just see it as, cool, this is how we write songs now, you know.
Yeah.
What about you?
So much, partly because of time, if I'm looking at it from that angle. But also, my children resent my music because it takes me away.
Uh-huh.
When Mealy was little, she didn't want me to play at all. And now she thinks it's fantastic. That's and cool. I can't play without her coming into the room and interrupting.
Okay.
And playing next to me. Or Felix is now at the age where he doesn't want me to play. So he comes into the room if I start, puts his hands over my guitar and won't let me play. So I've had to really make it as something that I do in the hours that they're asleep.
Yeah.
Or when they're at school. That's changed things a fair whack.
Yeah.
But also I feel like I've started to write music that's more fun. You know, like I feel like I play more fun music for them.
Yeah.
And so I'm not going to say I like pop music. I'm not going to say that.
No, don't say it.
But,
but we know what you're saying.
We know what I'm not saying. I like things with, you know, a little bit more joy than I used to. And I think part of that is about having kids for me.
That is really cool. And I think it's true. The moments that define parenting are these like brief moments of like intense joy.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that punctuate just like the absolute chaos of the actual experience. When you're like talking to your friends and whatever about the kids, like those are the moments you focus on are the moments of joy. So that checks out, you know. It does make sense that, like, in your music, you would celebrate the joyful stuff of this time of your life.
A part of me wonders if, and I don't attribute this to kids, I attribute this to life and what happens after you have kids and the other aspects of life, is I think sometimes you're just in survival mode. And when you're in survival mode, you don't write about the stuff that you're dealing with. It just goes quiet. That part of you just goes quiet. And so you write what you can write. And then when you're ready and it feels safe again, I think that stuff bubbles to the surface. And then you can start.
That is quite profound, you know, because you try to... Like, I've kind of grappled with this question before. It's like, should I change? Like, should my... What we do as a band change? And should, like... The kind of music we make change, and it's cool to have these thoughts, but like, unless you are a pop artist writing very pointed specific songs with like a very specific goal,
yeah,
you can think about whatever you want to think, like whatever you end up making is going to be what it is, you know, And that's definitely the case for us. I still write songs about all the same junk that I've been talking all these years. I mean, it's like I have written 2 songs about the kids.
Oh, that's your limit. You're not allowed to write any more than
that. I know,
but
2 kids, 2 songs, I'm out. But they don't read as like, oh, this one's, that's kind of bleak when a dude will write about the, and it just never works.
I mean, never.
Well, I can think of one really good example is Luden Wainwright, the song Daughter, if you heard that.
God, I love him.
That song will just end your day. Yeah, it's just an insane. Oh, I can actually think of another song. Ben Folds, Gracie.
No, I have not heard.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's just so beautiful.
Brandi Carlile, have you heard her song Mother? Mm-mm. Also about her daughter. Beautiful.
Okay, so I take it back. There are some really good examples of songs about your kids. I mean, there's some shockers too, right?
No, some proper shockers. Yeah.
I think, like, you feel obliged sometimes to write a song about a kid. It's like, it's kind of a big deal. I've had a kid. That should manifest another big thing in my life, which is music.
Yeah.
You should question that decision sometimes, you know, if it really, really needs to.
It's a very fine line, yeah. I think. Yeah. So, do you have a favorite artist, local artist at the moment, or someone that you would say people should listen out for?
Whenever I'm asked this question, my mind immediately goes to the same person who is Bongiziwe Mabandla.
Oh.
Like, I just cannot imagine that enough people have heard of this guy. As successful as he is becoming,
yeah,
I just can't stop telling people about this dude. You know, it's like, I just think he's really great.
The first time I saw him play was at Wolves Cafe.
Yeah.
Now, for anyone who's listening, this Shane here in front of me is the genius behind Wolves.
Okay.
Genius. And the whole center of the folk scene here in Johannesburg, 10 years ago, you were saying just now. And we didn't have a folk scene before you, but on your stages, I played alongside Bongiziwe Mabandla, and he has exploded.
Yeah,
like, he's all over the world. We had him on the show some episodes ago, but he came to Joburg to do a show, and this ticket sold out in 10 minutes.
Goodness me.
I know. So I'm glad you mentioned him, because he's wonderful.
Yeah. I tell everyone about him.
Yeah.
I just really dig his stuff.
And do you have any advice for independent artists, either planning to have kids or not, just general advice for indie artists, maybe with a slant towards having kids?
Okay, cool. I guess those are two questions. It's like,
yeah.
So to independent artists, I think good luck out there. It's tough. You know, it's like, but nothing that I say to dissuade you will work, because you are drawn to this thing that we do, and for good reason. It's incredible. It's really fun and it's rewarding. And like I said earlier, like, you get addicted to certain things about performing. And so whatever you're thinking of doing, you should definitely do. But you knew that already. You were going to. Yeah, I mean, I guess the only real piece of advice that I think a lot of people do give, but it's worth repeating, is that, like, try to get your business affairs in check quite early on, because it can spiral out of control, you know. And, like, if you don't have your royalty stuff in check, you just never really manage to wrangle it properly, you know. So learn about that stuff, figure it out, set it up, get into the routine of doing the stuff you need to do, and then you're in better shape to keep going for longer. And then the other side of the question is around parenting and music. I would say it's kind of a similar thing, because you're probably not going to, if you're thinking of having kids, you're not going to, like, not have kids, you know, because maybe you'll have to give up playing a few shows. It's more just general parenting advice, which is, you might think you're ready, but you're definitely not ready. The thing about parenting is, like, before you become a parent, you got to think you're ready. I mean, you're not ready. You got to lie to yourself to say, I'm ready for this. You could never be ready.
No.
But you got to think you're ready. So if you think you're ready, then that's probably a good sign. I mean, you're not ready. But if you think you're ready, then cool, go for it. Like, anybody that has kids, it topples your entire world. Like, the fact that you've got gigs and stuff is almost irrelevant, because you're going to deal with shuffling stuff for a long time. This is part of it.
Now, how can people follow you and your music and hear what you're doing? Social media handles.
Probably our busiest one is Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Desmond and Tutus. Facebook. I mean, not at all. We don't have TikTok. I mean, we're not quite on your level with TikTok.
Yet. With my zombie TikTok account.
No, because after you gave me that tip about now we've got to get a bunch of followers before we post anything, I mean, that's completely just...
taking the idea off the table.
Yeah, no, I mean, Twitter, I mean, we're on everything, but we're not super active on any of it, really, you know. But if there's a show, it'll be on one of them.
Yeah. Thank you for coming to chat.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for starting this conversation, because we need to, like, talk to each other about this stuff, I think.
I mean, I think about that about parenting in general, is that so often, especially when the kids are so young, I think to myself, why did no one tell me it was this hard?
Yeah.
Because no one does, and nobody's having that conversation. I don't know if they don't want to show that it's a really hard thing to do, to have kids, and to be a functioning adult and partner.
I'll tell you what it is. You forget. Like, you've got two kids.
Yeah.
You forgot. You had a second one. Like,
that's true.
The reason you had a second one was be like, and other people forget too. You just like, you pull out these brief moments of joy. That defines the experience when you look back on it. But in the moment...
Oh, well, good luck to all of us. And thank you for coming.
Thanks
really
for having me. Yeah, this is fun.
Yeah.
This episode was made possible by the Music in Africa Foundation, the German Federal Foreign Office, Siemens Stiftung, and Goethe Institute. The Music in Africa Foundation is a pan-African non-profit organization based in Johannesburg, South Africa, with satellite offices in East, West, and Central Africa. Their mission is to support the African music sector through promoting knowledge exchange and creating opportunities and capacity for music professionals. I'm Shotgun Tori, and if you're an indie artist whose passion for what you do can inspire or fuel others, get in touch. I'd love to chat. You can find me on my website at shotguntori.com.
You've been listening to another production from Solid Gold Podcasts.
Ladybug, I'm gonna find you. Ladybug, I'm gonna keep you. Ladybug, don't fly away from me. I'm sorry, ladybug, don't mean to be a pest. I'm searching high and low. I love you the best. All the other bugs in the garden, they either stink or sting. You're the only bug in the garden that makes me wanna sing. Ladybug, I'm gonna find you. Ladybug, I'm gonna keep you. Ladybug, don't fly away from me. Thank you.